Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk to come for us. So let me ask everybody this. So do you like movies? Do you like movies? Most of us? Or do you like, no? See, I just read my Bible and listen to worship music, so I don't watch that evil stuff, but no, that's not true. I actually love watching movies. And but you know what's amazing is Hollywood, they really are the modern-day storytellers. It's like they can perpetuate a narrative throughout the world. And I think if you pay attention to movies, Hollywood is letting us know that the world, and New York City in particular, has one savior. And his name is Will Smith. And so if you don't believe me, I'll speak to the men. Men, if you're struggling in your love life, maybe not hitting it with the ladies and you need a little help, that there is a savior out there, someone that can help you, and his name is Will Smith, if you've seen the movie Hitch. All right? But maybe the love life is not your issue, but maybe you've become aware of extraterrestrial life that has infiltrated the human race. And now they go around disguised as cab drivers and street vendors, and they have a plan to destroy the world. But thank God for who? Will Smith, if you've seen the movie Men in Black. And then this was a recent attack on our city of New York. There was a demon-possessed witch living underneath Grand Central Station. Were you aware of this? She had a plan to destroy New York City and the world, Armageddon. But thank God for Will Smith and the Suicide Squad, if you've seen that movie. But by far, my favorite movie, and Ernie, you might turn the back light on too? That'd be amazing. By far, my favorite movie is I Am Legend. Did you see this? 2007. Actually, it's the story of Will Smith. He plays Dr. Robert Neville. And in this, he's a scientist. And what has happened is a man-made virus has gotten out, and it's broken out throughout New York City. But there's something peculiar about this virus is it didn't kill people, but in some way it began to consume their soul, and they became less than human. And what happened is these creatures, now they began to love the darkness and they hated the light. And so as this began to go on, they wreaked havoc throughout New York City, and they quarantined the city. And they fast forward in the movie several years later, and you see devastation throughout New York. There is no more life. And in it, over the narration, Will Smith's voice comes on and he says this: God didn't do this. We did. And I just thought that just hit me so hard when I heard that line. And then if you're familiar, the story goes on that Will Smith, Dr. Neville, is determined to find a cure for this disease that has plagued humanity. And for whatever reason, his blood was immune to this disease and this virus. And so he knew he could find a cure through his blood. And throughout the film, he would yell to these lifeless creatures. He says, I can save you. I can save all of you. And yet, what would happen is he would eventually find a cure, but it would cost him his very life. Does this sound familiar to anybody? You know that Dr. Tim Keller, he says this, that the gospel story is the story that all other stories point to. And if you're not familiar with the gospel story, it starts out very similar, where God creates everything beautiful and rhythmic, and that humanity, we walk with our God in unity with one another, and love prevails. This idea of outdoing each other, and we're in paradise, and it's beautiful, and there is one rule, and it says this: don't eat of this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we don't know how long mankind resisted that temptation, but eventually they succumbed to it, and they ate of the forbidden fruit. God said, the moment you do that, you'll surely die. And on that day, something died in all of us. And man began to love the dark places and would run from the light. and we were thrust out of Eden. And now, if you read through the Old Testament of your Bible, you see thousands of years of humans' devastation, sinning against the world and one another. And I can't help but hear Will Smith's voice say this: God didn't do this, we did. But praise God, there was always the promise of this Savior. And Jesus Christ appeared on the scene, and his continuous message was, follow me, I can save you, I can save all of you. See, because he was hit, for whatever reason, he was resistant to this sin virus. And here's what we'd find out. Well, we wouldn't follow him. Rather, we would put him up and hang him on a cross. But as his blood fell from that cross into the ground, suddenly we'd found a cure. And then he goes into the ground. We bury him. On the third day, he raises again. And then he's in a room similar to this with his 12 disciples. And suddenly, the resurrected Christ, he breathes on the disciples. And he says, this, receive the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, these men, the very thing that was dead on the inside became alive. Suddenly, now humanity began. Now we could learn to love the light and hate the darkness. And so this, C.S. Lewis called it this, the good infection. And here's what we see is this infection has beginning to spread for the last 2,000 years. That Jesus, he met with 12 in an upper room, but then it spread to 120 on the day of Pentecost. And then Peter preaches and the infection goes out, the good infection goes out further. 3,000 are added to the church until now you get today 2.2 billion people infected with the good infection. That we found a cure to the darkness inside the human soul. And so here's the good news. Is this the good infection still going out, still spreading out through our lives? And that's why we've called this series Viral, because the reality is we're going through a study in the book of Acts, and I heard Pastor Shino crushed it last week. So so we're going through the spread of the gospel, and so I really want you to take the next 8 to 10 weeks and study and start reading with us through the book of Acts. Here's something you'll find out in the book of Acts. Do you know what? It has 28 chapters, and you get to 28, and it just ends. It's like, wait a minute. What happened to Paul? What's Peter doing? And it just leaves all these loose ends hanging, you know? But here's the reason why the author does that. Because you and I were Acts 29. That God's story is still continuing ahead today. The only thing is, we're participating in it. That we become Acts 29. In fact, Psalm 139 is going to say this, that God's seen all your days and he's written them into his book. Like you're a part of God's story. I need you, you know what I was telling Sam at our Connect group the other day, I'm like, you know what, I'm really kind of alarmed about this sermon series, because I realize every sermon, I'm just saying the same thing in a different way, okay? And here's the thing is, I want you to recognize the fact that God has a purpose and a mission for your life, that our lives are a part of all God's doing, his story of reconciling mankind. So do you see yourself in the story? So there's a guy, Alexander the Great. Have you heard of him? So this is back in like 300 BC. He was actually crowned king of Macedonia at the age of 20. By the time he was 30 years old, he had conquered the entire known world, right? What did you do with your 20s, right? And so that's what he did. And as he was on his way conquering the world, he approached this place called Tyre. And Tyre was interesting. He sent a delegation to offer them terms of peace should they want to peacefully surrender. And the delegates went to Tyre. And if we could pull up, Izzy, that on the screen there, you can see there's old Tyre, and then new Tyre is this island-like fortress. And so the king of Tyre, he's like, who's this Alexander to tell me what to do? We have this island fortress. He can't touch us. So he slaughtered the delegates sent from Alexander and chucked them over the fortress walls. Well, Alex wasn't too pleased with that. And so he equipped his army, and they marched into old Tyre, which was on the continent. And he went and they leveled that place. They destroyed all the homes and all the stones, and they took all the rubble and they put it into the ocean and they built a bridge all the way to Tyre and he slaughtered everybody. Here's why I mentioned that. Do you know that Ezekiel, yeah, happy Sunday. Ezekiel chapter 26, God, he prophesies judgment through the prophet Ezekiel that someone would come and he would annihilate Tyre and they would take their stones and their timber and cast them into the waters. God's story playing out in real life. Alexander's now on his way to Jerusalem. And as he is, the high priest, Jaddua, he has a vision from the Lord that he's to get himself dressed in his priestly garb. He's to take the other priests with him, march out to the battlefield to meet Alexander. Alexander simultaneously has a dream from the Lord that if he'll meet this holy man on the battlefield, this man's God will deliver the Pedes, the Medes and the Persians to you. They go out, they meet, and Alexander bows the knee before the high priest. Alexander's men are like, what in the world? He enters into the temple, sacrifices to God. But before he leaves, the high priest Jaddua opens up the book to the prophet Daniel. And he says this, he shows them in Daniel 8. He says, Alexander, my God has prophesied of a great ram with a mighty horn. And he will attack another ram with two horns, the Medes and the Persians, and this one ram will destroy the kingdom of the two-horned ram. That's you, Alexander. And so what we see is Alexander got to see himself in the book, and you got to know you're in the book, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And listen, but before you can do anything and before I can do anything, God says we have something we need, not a something, a someone. His name is the Holy Spirit. The helper. And that's who we're going to talk about this morning. And so, Pastor Shino, did you tell these guys last week that Acts is actually Luke part 2? I think you did say that, right? And so here's what we see. The book of Acts is actually the Gospel of Luke continued. And here's what Luke records for us. In Luke chapter 24, in verse 49, we get this, that Jesus is going to say this, if I can get my iPad to open up. Come on, iPad. He's going to say this. Luke 24, 49, he says, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And then what happens? The credits roll. And so what he's saying, hey, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything because you're going to need some power. Now we see Luke part 2, the book of Acts, and it picks up in Acts 1:8. This is going to be our text for today. He says this. Jesus, he's about ready to ascend, and he tells his disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we see that God offers us power that we might be his witnesses in the earth. That word for power, it's the word dunamis. It's the Greek, it's where we get the word dynamite. Right? Or unless if you're over 40, it's dynamite, right? Anybody, any good time people here? No? The young people are like, what is he talking about? Yeah. So it's dynamite, man. God says, I've got explosive power for you in the earth. And it's power not so we can do all these, hey, make much of us. It's power that we might be a witness to Jesus Christ. And so that word witness is actually, it's the Greek word martyrs. And you can hear the word martyr, that God is going to give us a power to testify to the very point of death if need be. And so I'll give you an example. I'm taking a group of men. Pastor Sheena and I are taking the New York Jets team through this book called Play the Man. And it tells the story of Polycarp. It's one of the early church martyrs. For the record, please do not name your kid Polycarp, okay? But it's interesting. His name, Poly, means much. Carpus means fruit, so much fruit. And that's who we want to be. We want a people that bear much fruit unto God. And so this man was well into his 80s when Caesar declared his death. And so he sent a militia to Polycarp's home. And God had already given him a vision saying that they're coming to arrest you. And so he was like, opened the door and allowed the militia to come in. He actually prepared for them dinner and tea. And he asked if he could have an hour to go pray to his God. They're like, sure, because they couldn't believe, what did we come to arrest this old man for? And so sure enough, they eat and they enjoy, and Polycarp actually prays 2 hours. They arrest him, and eventually, fast forward, they get him into the Colosseum, and as he's being sent to his death, he hears the Lord speak to him, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit whispers to him, be bold and play the man. And so that strengthened him. And as they went to burn him at the stake, they normally would tie your hands to the stake. And Polycarp said, that won't be necessary. The God who kept me these 86 years will keep me now. And so they, as they lit the fires, they said, that it wouldn't engulf him, but rather swirled around him. And as it was, as they were burning, yet not burning him up, what happened is it says that the Colosseum filled up with the smell of frankincense. That's the smell of the scents that are burning in the temple of the Lord. And as this Colosseum filled up, it freaked out Caesar, so they ordered him to be killed. And so they took a spear and they stabbed him. And as they did, a dove flew out of the fire, and then his blood spilled out and it extinguished all the fire. Can we agree that's different? Like, you see that and you're like, that is a witness. And I promise you this, no one left that Colosseum by like going, that God he served is different than the God I'm serving. And so God wants to give us, listen, I'm pretty confident you're not going to be martyred, okay? Although this is interesting, do you know that just in 2016 alone, 90,000 Christians were killed? Just in 2016, that's one every 6 minutes. But I'm guessing that's not going to be us. But I do know this, it's tough out there. That I know there's times when I shrink back from testifying to the fullest. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit if we're going to be used by God in his story. And so he gives it to us. And so we're going to talk about, you might have heard it as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. I really don't care what you call it. My question to you that you need to answer today, do you have power to be a witness for Christ? That's what we want to talk about. And so I'm going to give you like three functions or roles of the Holy Spirit this morning, okay? This isn't exhaustive, but these are three things that I think it'll help clarify. Because if you're like me, you're asking the question, hey, Pastor, I thought when I received Jesus, I got the Holy Spirit. Why do I need another filling of the Holy Spirit? And I'm glad you asked that because that's what's in my notes. So we'll talk about that, all right? And so I need you to remember this for me. With, in, upon, all right? Now, maybe we can try it. Ready? With, in, upon. With, in, upon. And these are the three things that the Holy Spirit's going to do for us. Lord, give us grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So number one, the Holy Spirit, he is with you prior to your conversion to Christ. John 16, verses 7 through 8, the Gospel of John, verse 16, verses 7 through 8, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, this being Jesus speaking, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so we see this function of the Holy Spirit, that he's the convictor, he's the arrester for us. And so he convicts us of sin. And so I'll give you an example of this. I've used this before, but how many are glad, praise God Almighty, it's football season, right? And God heard our season of prayer and fasting because the Patriots lost their opener at home. So that's great. But there's a guy you'll see at NBC football. His name is Tony Dungy. He's a Hall of Fame coach, brilliant man, and a lover of Jesus. But one of his sons has a rare disease where he doesn't feel pain. And so when I hear that all the time, I'm like, man, that's awesome. You have a super baby, you know, or something like that. But he says it's an absolute nightmare. He says we're forever in the emergency room because my kid is constantly hurting himself. He tells the story of where his wife is cooking chocolate chip cookies in the oven, and the little boy opens the oven, grabs the 350-degree cookie sheet, burns his hands, and then grabs the cookie, puts it in his mouth, and absolutely scalds his tongue. And so back to the emergency room they go. And so here's what I want to encourage you. If you've ever stepped in that place where you know you shouldn't step, and suddenly you feel the conviction, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, listen, don't despise that. That's unbelievably good news. I got a friend who owns a funeral home, so he like works with dead people. Here's something I learned about dead people. They don't feel anything, right? And so if you don't feel anything when you're off into doing certain things, then I'm afraid for you. But if you do, man, praise God, that means you're spiritually alive. And so the Spirit, he convicts us of sin. He also convicts us of righteousness. So not just stuff we shouldn't do, but there's sins of commission, but there's also sins of omission. In other words, there's things we know we should do and we don't. And I'll throw myself under the bus. I remember this distinctly as I was driving through my city, Caldwell, and an older gentleman got off the bus, and it was probably 95 degrees out, humid, and this poor man is bringing a big thing, two things of luggage, and he's dragging it through Caldwell. And so I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit say, you need to pull over and you need to pick up this man and take him where he needs to go. And I'm like, but Lord, you don't understand. I have things to do. I have to go do a discipleship meeting, and I have to go do this, and I have all these reasons. And you know what? I just did my thing. And it just, the Holy Spirit arrested me. And I was so convicted after that moment. I was like, God, give me a do-over. Have you ever asked God for a do-over? Like, God is amazing. He'll give you do-overs. And so I remember, God, just give me a do-over. The next day, I promise you, it's pouring rain outside. And I see this woman walking in the rain, this older woman. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus, right? I pull over. And this poor lady must have thought I was stalking her. I'm like, get in. What? Get in. You know, and so she gets in and I take her where she needs to go. But so it was a do-over. So he'll convict us of righteousness. He also will convict us of judgment. Many of you find yourself in here today because you know, realize that one day there's going to be a day of reckoning. And so I'll share this story. How many are familiar? And you'll find out in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 7, we get Stephen. He's the first martyr killed of the church. And so it's interesting. The story tells of Stephen that as he shares the gospel, people are so offended, they pick up rocks and they begin to stone him to death. And as they're throwing rocks at him, he says, I see the heavens opened. He says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And just, this is a side note for you. For those of you, like, if it's me, like, I still, I'm not afraid to die, but I do have preferences how that happens. Anybody else? You know? But I feel like we get a glimpse at Stephen. I've shared this before, but we had to put my golden retriever down about 6 years ago. Not that long? How long, baby? Four? Three? 3 years ago, we had to put Dakota down, and it was funny. I was he was in the vet room, and we got the news that we'd have to do that, and I was just trying to get it together. I'd actually tried to witness to our veterinarian, and then I went in there, and if you can feel this with me, he's on the table, just all these wires in him and stuff, and the moment I walked into the vet's office and he sees me, he gets up onto the table, and he just, woo! He just screams like that, and I just broke down, just sobbing like a baby. And it was like when he saw me, this life surged into his body. And I think this is what happens to us just before we go to heaven. God will see him, and life will flow into our body, and we'll see him. We'll forget about all the other garbage going around. But that's not even part of my sermon, but I wanted you to know that. And so, so Stephen, just before he dies, he says, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. And in the crowd, there's a guy by the name of Saul who's enjoying it so much. But to see a man die in that fashion, how many know it's different? And Saul begins to persecute the church over and over. And as he would drag men and women off into prison, they would bless him. They would love. And so this is kind of messing with Paul's paradigm because he wants to hate these people. And then Saul, who had become Paul, shares his testimony in Acts chapter 26, verse 14. And Saul, he shares this. He says, when Jesus appears to Paul on the road to Damascus, he says this, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the goads, isn't it? So a goad was a sharp rod that they would use to prod cattle. And so what was happening, every time Saul would see somebody die or someone loved despite the fact that they were being persecuted, it would hit his heart. The goad would strike him over and over until eventually Saul would give his life to Jesus. He would become the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary our faith has ever known. And then here's another one is God wants to, the Holy Spirit wants to be in you. So remember, he's with you. Now he's in you. That's Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 13 to 14. He says this, in him, being Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And so, did Nick take off yet? Brandy, all right, so you need to make sure he listens to the tape. You daddies of daughters, you need to dial in right now. Paul's got Lucy, so here's something. Men, you got to woo your daughters before some other little punk does, okay? We did this thing for our daughters, and we had, when they turned 13, we made a vow with one another, my daughters and me. And so they got what we call a promise ring. So we got to go, and they got to like pick out their ring. I was like, please, Jesus, don't let them pick out something expensive, right? And so we went and did that. And but the one, my youngest, she just picked out something that was like imitation emerald or something. I'm like, thank you, God. But then the other one, she's in here today. She had to get the diamonds, so I'm like, oh, geez. So we do that. But on the 13th birthday, then we had a limo, and the limo came and picked us up, and we were in downtown New York, and believe me, it was a ghetto limo. It had the lights going on inside of it, but we went down to Serendipity in New York City, and we had this, but then we got to, we shared something. Here's the reason we're doing all this, is that I had to make a vow to my daughters to say, hey, that I promise to care for you, to love you with all my heart, no matter what, always. And here's what you have to do. You have to keep yourself and you keep your heart for your daddy until your husband comes. And so that's kind of been our promise and our vow to one another. It's the promise that you belong to me and I belong to you. And then when we finally get married and I walk her down the aisle, I'm going to give her to another man. But until that time, she's mine, baby, all right? And the Holy Spirit, if we read that, that he gives the Holy Spirit, he's the promise. He's the guarantee from God that you belong to him, and you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then Romans 8:16 would say this, that he, now he's the confidence. So have you guys ever like done some things you know you shouldn't do, but yet even despite the fact that you know maybe you're not living like a Christian should, or you're not doing what you should be doing, there's a knowing in your heart that you're his. Romans 8:16 says this, that the Holy Spirit, he bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. We're his children. And so I'll skip this part. Let's go. Here's the third thing now. So he's with us, he's in us, and now he wants to come upon you. And so Acts 1:8, and that was our anchor text, that he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so here's the thing. So God, he offers us now power to go be that witness. And here's what, if you read in your Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit came upon people, it radically changed their life. Like there was Saul, he was Israel's first king. And what happens is it says that the Holy Spirit would come upon him, and the Bible says he became another man. And so if you're familiar with Saul, he's normally selfish, but yet when the Holy Spirit came on him, he would sacrifice. He was normally a coward. Holy Spirit would came on him, he was courageous. And so this is the power. It changed people. It gave them a supernatural power. There's another guy, a scoundrel you may have heard of in your Bible, by the name of Samson. And Samson, though, when the Holy Spirit would come upon him, he would do these great feats of strength on behalf of God's people. And so this is what we see. And then in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is saying in the book of Philippians, and if you're an athlete, I promise you've quoted this one before, is I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And so we see this supernatural power that God wants to give us. And let me give you who I think is the poster child for this transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So how many, Dan, I don't even have to ask you, but how many guys, you kind of late at night and these stupid infomercials come on? How many know are like me, you're still waiting for that pill that you take that gives you abs and you never have to work out, right? And so you're waiting for that one. They have all these diet schemes, and it's kind of the before and the after, you know? And so, man, Peter is the before and after. So do you guys remember Peter? Jesus says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, I got this. And so sure enough, as Jesus is arrested, he denies once to a little girl. And catch this, I can't remember which gospel did this, but Peter actually, after the Lord is arrested, he's sitting around a fire. And about 2 hours previous to this, Peter had cut off a man's ear and the Lord stuck it back on the dude. Well, it turns out that around that fire was a relative of that guy who just got his ear cut off. And so I think of all the people in the world, why was that guy sitting next to Peter? And Peter's like, hey, weren't you one of the dudes that was with that Jesus guy? And he denies it again. Three times he denies him. And so now, fast forward, Jesus raises. And now suddenly, the day of Pentecost, he's filled. The Holy Spirit comes upon him with power. Now what does he do? In that same city where they brutally beat and crucified Jesus, he gets up and the coward now points his finger in those people's face and he says, this Jesus who you crucified, he's Savior and Lord. That's different, right? And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's what I want you to know here this morning. God wants to give you this power. He wants to give you a holy boldness. And so here's what I do is I pray on a daily basis, God, baptize me afresh. God, baptize me afresh in the Holy Spirit. Refill me afresh. And so I'm going to ask Kim to come on up here, and if you could just play something on the keys, it'd be amazing, because we're going to start to close, but I want to do something a little bit different. Listen, if you would like to receive, if you're a Christian and you would like to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you an opportunity here this morning. And so here's what I want to do. If that's you, if you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to just raise your hand this morning. If you'd like a fresh filling of power to be a witness, thank you for that. I know it's courageous even to do that. And so and here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray together, but here's what you need to know. God's a good Father. And he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask me for it? And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray together with just your hand raised, just a sign of wanting to receive this baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray right now. And I want you to repeat after me. Father, thank you for sealing me with the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And now, Father God, I'm praying for a filling of this Holy Spirit. From the soles of my feet to the hairs on my head, God, fill me. Baptize me with power. And now this simple prayer that we just prayed this morning, you can pray this every day and have the Holy Spirit of God fill you as you go and play your part in God's story. And so would you stand to your feet with me? Do we have a prayer? Do we have prayer people, Dottie? Yeah, we'll have our just prayer counselors come to the front. Would be great if we could do that. And I want to close with this. How many have heard of this guy named Aaron Rodgers? You heard of? He's like unbelievable. It's my guy, Joyce says. So he's a quarterback for the, no, it's not this guy, is he? He plays quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. And back in 2010, he won the Super Bowl. Not only did he win the Super Bowl, but he was the Super Bowl MVP, the pinnacle of sports. And Aaron Rodgers says, on that moment in the locker room, as he's holding on to his MVP trophy, he had this thought. Oh God, I hope this isn't all I do with my life. Do you believe that? I hope this isn't all I do. Do you see, there's things that seem so important to us, but yet in light of eternity, it'll come up short. So just so you guys know, I'm sure you're all aware of this, but your pastor scored the last goal of the old millennia. Philadelphia Flyers versus the Vancouver Canucks. Overtime winner. your pastor buried it in the net. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's pretty awesome. But now, let me just tell you what happened to me about 3 months ago. I got a phone call from a friend's wife that her husband had just passed away, left their 16-year-old son. But here's the rest of the story. Back in 2001, I led this guy to the Lord by the grace of God. And now, overtime winner, John Corridori's eternal soul. How many know what's more important? So God's going to do great things. Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.